I'm David Dye. Our Sense of Place visit to Lafayette, Louisiana continues this hour with a longtime Lafayette resident and revered guitarist, Sonny Landreth. Sonny played in Clifton Chenier's band, and while being a sideman for many others, including John Hiatt, has kept his own career as a songwriter and artist and in-demand session player. This set and interview were recorded in October during Sonny's visit to Philadelphia. We'll talk after this performance of Native Stepson. We'll be right back.
As our Sense of Place visit to Lafayette, Louisiana continues today on the Cafe, live from the stage, actually, of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. It's our guest, Sonny Landreth, and that version of Native Stepson, a song I thought would be kind of appropriate for this. And getting a chance to talk with Sonny, who's been a guest on the Cafe many, many times, one of the most amazing guitar players out there. And as his bumper stickers on his merch table say, "Got Slide," and that's what this man plays. Sonny, good to see you.
Good to see you too, David. It's good to be back always.
Now the subject is Lafayette, and where did you actually grow up in?
Yeah, you know, I was born in Mississippi, but my family moved to Lafayette when I was 7 years old. So second grade had already begun, and I entered, and so raised there, you know, my whole life.
Well, contrast growing up in Mississippi, what you remember of it, I know that was a while ago, to what it was like when you moved to Lafayette.
Well, there was a contrast I remember well, because we would go back in the summers and visit my grandparents. So we, you know, went back and forth. But, yeah, it was the culture. I mean, I didn't know that when I was a kid, and I heard about Cajuns, and I didn't know. It fired up my imagination, but I've often said, you know, that I thank my dad many times, because I would have never gotten started in music like that and had the culture be such an influence with the music and all the opportunities to learn about playing music there.
Now, when you started learning guitar, what were you playing? Were you playing the musics of Louisiana, or were you just playing?
Yeah, not at first, because as a kid, I was snake bit with Scotty Moore and Elvis Presley, you know, and then everybody, kids my age, wanted to do that, and that carried over. I really didn't get my first guitar till I was 13, but I started my trumpet when I was 10. So it was kind of an interesting thing, because on the one hand, I had trumpet heroes and the music I was exposed to at school. And I never got over rock and roll because of Elvis when I was a kid. And that went on to the Ventures and, of course, the Beatles when they came on the scene. And it started getting into blues. And the more I would get into that, then I would find out about people playing in the area. And then I would hear these bands when I was growing up. All these Cajun bands would play at different functions. And I got really fired up about that. And they would play on a flatbed trailer or the parking lot at a new business opening, or they all had, a lot of them had their own TV shows on Saturdays. And I was just, it was all about all things guitar and playing in a band. So it was all great to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting when people talk about Louisiana music, if they concentrate on New Orleans, it is a horn and a piano town. And I guess you being in Lafayette was really advantageous to you, because so much, particularly in Cajun music, you know, guitar is right in there as part of the mix.
Yeah, and too, with the, in particular, later for me, with Clifton Chenier and his band, he was so blues and, you know, such a big influence in how he took that. So guitar was played a big role in his music. I think so. The great thing was there were all these influences and all these different instruments, and with Cajun and Creole. And when I got older and enough to be able to sit in and play and start learning music, it was amazing. It's still, you know, still a source for me to be inspired and go back to.
One of the songs that you wrote and got known for early on, and been a lot of people have had a chance to do this song because it's really so evocative, is Congo Square, and it is it's an anthem almost for this music. Can you tell us the inspiration for writing on it? I mean, Congo Square is in obviously New Orleans,
right?
But this music is everywhere.
Yeah, it is, and I've always found one of the most fascinating things about New Orleans is it was an original port, and there were just so many different groups of people there, and so many influences, and the food, the music, everything, and that really spilled over into everything else. And it's a fascinating history to study that. But I think all along the rhythm was the thing. And the first time I really ever heard syncopation and got And it was so infectious. And as a kid, we would go into New Orleans all the time with my folks and my family. So hearing those brass bands, hearing the second line, rhythm and blues, all that. And then at the same time have the influences back in Lafayette. So Congo Square, for me, was represented all of that. And historically what that meant to the city, and probably the birthplace of jazz is the African element and where they started out. But the fact that the Nevilles did it and John Mayall and others picked up on it, I think said a lot. And that was an affirmation enough for me, you know.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear the version of a song that I'm sure Sonny Landreth cannot leave out of a set. This is Congo Square live on stage at World Cafe Live.
Thank you.
Congo Square by Sonny Landreth, live on stage at World Cafe Live with his band. We'll find out more about what makes Lafayette, Louisiana special to him, and we'll hear more live performances as our Sense of Place visit with Sonny Landreth continues on the World Cafe. Our interview with Sonny Landreth, recorded last month in Philadelphia, continues as part of our Sense of Place series. I asked him about his first experience playing Zydeco.
For me, that was truly Clifton Chenier.
Oh, boy.
And I say that because I actually met him when I was really young. I was a teenager. I was probably 16. And a buddy of mine and I had heard about him and heard about this cat that played blues on accordion. So by then, I was already really getting into the blues and studying it and reading about it and listening to all the albums that I could get my hands on. So when I heard about a blues accordion player, I said, I got to check this out. Of course, that was only part of it. But he welcomed us in. He saw us standing by the front door of the club and the Blue Angel Club, and that was right down the street from where in his neighborhood where he lived, and was kind of his headquarters for many years. And so he invited us in, sat down, and it was really great. I mean, that's the first time I felt the Creole community inviting me in.
Mm. Explain in a way, and tell me how it is today, was then, the differences between, as you say, the Creole community, where Zydeco comes from, and then the Cajun community, which is, of course, the French community,
right.
And that different thing.
Yeah, I know it's kind of confusing, and I've never been an expert, but I can tell you as a musician, just in playing both and all the different bands and groups and musicians that... the influence from the Acadians and the Acadie, when they settled in our area in South Louisiana, that's one element. And you think of the accordion and the fiddle, and you call it the tifer, little triangle.
Right.
Yeah. And then with Zydeco, it was more there were more African influences, so it was more syncopated and it brought the blues element into it. And so Cliff came up with the idea of incorporating the steel vest, the fauteuil, you know, the rub board. And that they would literally, his brother Cleveland would play a rub board in the old days. And then Clifton told me he came up with the idea to design the contraption that they all play to this day, you know.
And didn't, it's an amazing didn't patent sound. It from what I hear.
You know, you never know. Yeah. That's the thing. And, but it's an incredible sound, really. It's unlike anything else. And so that's kind of the difference. And the lines blur, and a lot of those players get together and play together, too. So
now, where did the song Back to Bayou Teche come from?
Well, the river, or Bayou Teche, you know, river, bayou, it runs right through St. Martin Parish. And it's always had a lot of mystique about it in songs for traditional music. The Valse de Bayou Teche is one of my favorite waltzes that I learned many years ago. And a lot of that I learned playing with Michael Doucet and Beausoleil back mm-hmm. in the early days and sitting in with them and going to play with other people. But those songs just have a life of their own, and that fired up my imagination and sort of was the backdrop for that.
Oh, this has always been a great song. We can hear a live version on stage at World Cafe Live of Back to Bayou Teche from our guest, Sonny Landreth.
Thank you.
Sonny Landreth playing live on stage at World Cafe Live on our Sense of Place Lafayette, Louisiana show. And tell us some more special things about Lafayette, things about the town that, you know, if I'm a visitor coming in, I might not necessarily know about that are kind of things that you really love.
I think one thing in general, just the people are so friendly and soulful. And you really get the feeling that you've always known somebody. And they're kind of no strangers in that regard. There are a lot of nooks and crannies, little places to go to, but there's so many restaurants. If you like to eat, it's a great place to hang out and hear music. But another thing is how connected as a community. In many ways, it's a small town in that regard. And when we lose one of our own that's really close to us, it really, really goes home.
As you talked about it feeling like a small town, has it changed much over the years that you've been there?
Well, it's a lot more traffic.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people are coming there. And to be honest, you know, with the pains of the economy and all that the country's been going through for some years now, it really hadn't been that bad where we are. We've been fortunate in that regard. And a lot of people do come there. There's a lot of businesses popping up. But somehow, beneath all that, there's the real deal as well, and I'm glad for that.
Well, amen, and thanks for letting us know about those, and hopefully people get a feel for that throughout our week of programming on our Sense of Place visit to Lafayette, Louisiana. Sonny Landreth, thank you so much for representing.
My pleasure. Honor.
Sense of Place Lafayette, Louisiana continues here on the World Cafe.